At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
New research shows that Ireland remains heavily dependent upon cars, with 7 out of 10 journeys taken in that mode of transport. And this is despite a significant push for public transport from the Green Party in recent times. The government is now set to introduce further incentives in the form of cheaper bus fares and bike subsidies. Joining me now to talk about this is Donna Cooney, Green Party councillor for Clontarf and Deputy Lord Mayor. And we're also joined by Michael Healy-Ray, Independent TD for Kerry. Good morning and welcome to you both.
Good morning
to all.
Now, Michael, first of all, a demand for bikes in your constituency, I suspect it might be rather less than the demand for bikes in Clontarf.
Well, you see, any person would have to welcome the decrease for the people in Dublin, and nothing against the people in Dublin isn't that great for them. But again, Pat, it's Dublin. The whole world stops then once you go to the Red Cow roundabout. And I've been saying that now for a very, very long time, but it is actually a fact, because at present, if you want to leave Kerry, for example, and go to Cork, or go to Dublin, it will cost you on the train €68 return, and it'll take you 4 hours. If you go on the bus, it'll cost you €45 return, and it'll take you 4.5 hours. And if you want to go on a plane, it'll cost you €39.98 for a return flight, and it'll take you 35 minutes. So at present, the government policy is, if you want to lift yourself from Kerry to Dublin, the cheapest way to do it is by plane. Why aren't they doing something to address that? Why aren't they saying to the people of Kerry, well, we're going to reduce your costs for public transport, whether it's on short or long journeys? Because they have to understand one thing. We do not all live inside the Red Cow roundabout. We don't. There are people in the Evera Peninsula, in North, Mid, South, East and West Kerry. If you're back in Dingle today, you want public transport. And the first thing anybody will say is, well, a lot more public transport is available in our county of Kerry now. And there is, and I appreciate that, and I'm grateful for it. But that is still not an answer to the problem we have. People are still going to want to and have to live in the rural countryside. But why is it that Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil and the Greens seem to forget that? And whether it comes to affordability or the amount of service available to us, it's all Dublin. And that's what this report is today. It's Dublin, and to blazes with the rest of us. Okay. And that's the only problem I find with this. And I'm glad for the people in Dublin. And if they'll give them public transport for nothing, I'm glad for them. But at the same time, we must live as well.
Okay, Donna, what Michael is saying is that this is a Dublin-centric policy, and in truth, it's an easy win. Extending the subsidised bike scheme via tax relief to everybody and then lowering fares, you know, making monthly fare cards more attractive, the Leave card and so on, by lowering the price. But it's an easy win, and the government parties, including your own, the Green Party, forgetting about those who live in the hinterland and for whom a car is absolutely essential to go about their daily business.
Well, what you'll find in this study is a particular cohort that they've looked at that needs to have more incentive, and it needs to be safer for them to be able to travel around. But you know, if you look at the rural connective experience, you'll have that there was 3.2 million passengers in 2023 went on the link buses, you know, the local link buses, mm-hmm. which is a sevenfold increase since 2018. So you'll find that people are actually, you know, speaking with their feet there and are using these, that the increase didn't come from nowhere, you know. So those services linking towns and villages in rural areas have been a huge success, and we want to see that increased even more. So, I mean, I agree that we need to do more, you know, in public transport. We're coming from a very low investment prior to, you know, the Greens being in government in 2020. There was very little investment in public transport in this country. And, you know, that's going up year on year, and hopefully this budget will be even more. And you do need to incentivize people to use public transport. And you can see that when you put that investment in, that people are making that switch, you know, to that public transport. And it's provided a huge, particularly for young people, I think, and for older people, that sort of social isolation that they may have had before they had the links. They can now go out, you know, go out for a night, you know, go to the restaurant, go for a couple of drinks, get on the local link and get home. And, you know, I think, you know, that's a really, really good, and it's safe, you know, it's safe for people because they can use this service, and it's, you know, it's a safe and a convenient and a reliable service. And I think that's absolutely brilliant. But I mean, if you look at the study and in the article by Caroline Doherty, she's saying that there's a particular age group, say, of women, you know, over 35 or in that age group, you know, with children that are making the sort of short journeys, maybe, you know, the drop to school, the shopping, that type of thing. And I think that's where we need to find out what the reasons, and that sort of behavioural studies
but,
are good.
I mean, do you need research to know that as someone who's got to go to A to B, and when they get to B, they need to have a buggy for a child? Do you need research to understand why people might make relatively short journeys and use the car rather than hope there's room on the bus that comes, that it's not too crowded
You're
and
right.
that there's room for a buggy?
And even though we've made child fare 65 cents, you know, for a 90-minute journey, and, you know, adult 2 euros and 1 euro for a student or a young person, there's still those sort of, you know, journeys that different people make. And I think we've been too focused on maybe the commuter and the male, may I say. You know what I mean? We're not looking at the sort of, you know, the female traveller and the sort of decisions they're making. And they're often making a lot more short journeys from here to A to B to C and back to B, and, you know, all those sort of journeys.
And we know, for example, that, you know, the right of a sibling to go to the same school as its older sibling is gone. So there are decisions that may cause, for example, a parent to have to drop kids to two or three different schools.
And let's make it easier for people. Like, there's a whole range of issues. There's planning issues around where people live, where the schools are based. Let's have the schools within walking and cycling distance, you know.
Let's have schools within walking distance. What are we talking about doing? Getting a JCB and lifting the school up and moving it to where people live?
No, but like, there are a lot of people I know. I'm campaigning for more schools in my area. So I know on the ground that, you know, there is a lack of choice of schools for people. People want to sort of, you know, a secondary Gael Scullin, they want a Bun Scullin, they want an Educate Together secondary school, because there's three Educate Together, you know, the primary schools, but not the secondary schools. So therefore, they're looking for a similar type of school that is quite more of a distance, you know, from them. So there are certain things that we need to plan, and they're within the development plan, and we're getting there, you know, making this 15-minute city. But, you know, we do need to look at that. But we also need to look at other factors.
The 15-minute city, you know, is wonderful in theory. But it's for people who are sound in wind and limb. You know, it's not for people who actually require some sort of a car or whatever it might be.
Well, the cargo bikes, I mean, the incentive, and I think you've got to add in as well, there's others about the incentive now to actually give people, you know, an incentive to get a cargo bike. I'm seeing more and more than when you put in the infrastructure, like I used to, you very rarely would have seen a cargo bike around, you know, the odd one, and you'd almost mark out and people would point, oh, look at that, you know, and now you're just seeing them, like, you know.
Okay, I mean, that's all very well
here,
for the trendy
kids, three,
trendy
four,
people
four,
with cargo
kids.
Bikes, two kids in the front, but I can't see granny being picked up to being brought to lunch in a cargo bike. You know, there are situations
maybe
where
not,
the car is
but, Yeah, but this is where you will have like grannies that are still quite fit and able, but like give them an e-bike and it allows a more, you know, maybe it could be a tricycle, it could be a bike, but an e-bike. You've looked at other countries where they've actually given, you know, give it, so going up that hill isn't so difficult, going on that journey, you know, where you might not have the physical, you know, fitness level anymore to be cycling completely without a little bit of assistance of an e-bike. And I've spoken to a lot of older people that have got that e-bikes now, and they found that it has enabled them to be able to make those journeys. And also, there's a man on my road that didn't start cycling until he was 80. He's 86 now, and on a tricycle. His daughters gave him a tricycle. He had health issues, and he was told to try and take a bit of exercise. And because of the knees and the hips, he used to drive literally down to the local corner shop to get his newspaper and a cup of coffee. And now he's out and about on the bicycle, and he's got the coffee and the newspaper in the basket, and you know he's looking great, you know, now for 86 years of age. So you can make those changeovers, and no matter what age you are, like I find he's a sort of a role model for me in the sense that you can make those changes.
Yeah. I mean, you are using exceptionalism to make a general point. And people.
I'm using examples.
But they're exceptions. Yeah. They are definitely not the rule.
What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere, visit Hyland.com.
What say you, Michael?
I say that the small little bit of hair I had left in my head, I'm pulling it out here while I'm listening to this, because the story about moving the schools is the same as the party leader, Eamon Ryan, saying that we should all carpool and have tin cars in the local village and travel down on our bicycles or walk and share the cars. I live in the real world, and the real world means that many, many people have to use their cars for this dreaded short journey. Because when I hear people talking about short journeys, a bus, no matter how many buses we will put on, a bus cannot go to whether it is Clare or Donegal or whether it is Kerry or West Cork. You cannot pick everybody up at their house when they want to go at a certain time, whether it's carrying children to school, to do the shopping, to go to work. And these are the practical day-to-day things that people have to do to live. Now, the Green Party have fallen down, and where they are going to fall down, and no one of us knows who's going to survive the next general election. But if the Greens will survive, it'll be better than Donald Trump avoiding the bullet. Because to me, people that come out with this sort of balderdash every day about their anti the short journeys, people live in locations where it means they will have to get into their car. People are entitled to live in the countryside. We do not want a countryside patch that is just with birds, briars, bullocks and badgers. Because if we were to listen to the Greens, that's all we'd have. Because they don't want us to live in the countryside. They want the countryside to be some sort of a big open national park where people from the city will drive out and look at it and say, well, that's very nice, and go back in their electric bus back into the city again in the evening. Well, we want to live in the countryside. We want to work there. We want to farm there. It's where people came from. People are entitled to live in those areas because they came from those areas. And remember, there's nothing wrong with people wanting to holiday there. And if they want to rent accommodation, if they want to go to guest houses, if they want to rent homes and stay there and enjoy the countryside, that's what's called living in a free and open society.
All right.
But when I hear this sort of thing of anti this and anti that, the Greens are against so much at this stage. Could anybody tell me what they're actually for?
Donna?
Well, we're for giving people choices, and we're for providing a better quality of life for everybody. And this, there is no such thing as this urban-rural divide. That, you know, that's a fake thing. You know, we've all got family in the country that live rurally, where, like, you know, people living in cities come from rural areas, vice versa. People move all around Ireland. We want to give parents a choice. Like, does every parent want to be driving, you know, children to two different schools? schools, getting up in the wee, you know, and getting through traffic when the, a bus can be provided or another option is provided for them. You know, so we're about giving people a better quality of life and giving them those choices. You know, so that's what we're about. And we've been doing that. And you can see by the number of people and the benefits that it's given, particularly, you know, rural people that have had the benefits now with the link, local link buses. It's, you know, and the figures are shown for themselves. We want more of that. You know, we want more of those choices and more of those okay. better quality of life
Donna,
options that people
I'm going to read you some of the texts that have come in. And, you know, they're mixed in their view. I live in rural Ireland and yes, I use my car, I have to, for certain journeys, but I do notice that some people use their cars for small journeys too, instead of walking and cycling where that is possible. That's from Claire. Here's a mad idea. Why not reinstate all the railway lines that have been abandoned or turned into greenways across the country and use them as actual railway lines? It will take cars and trucks off the road and help reduce deaths and help the environment. It's a win-win situation. Yeah. No one seems to want to do it. In fact, I've been advocating against...
I'd love to have, like, the rail back to Donegal and places like that. I mean,
but the point
I,
is,
I
Donna, you
be,
guys and the Green Party want greenways. And I've always said that the permanent way is a very valuable piece of infrastructure. And in the days of autonomous cars, which are coming, those will be perfect for the introduction of autonomous cars and perfectly safe. But they'll be gone. They'll be covered with scooters and bicycles and pedestrians.
Well, we're not always looking to put greenways. You know, we're looking to put them, you know, in other routes, not to take necessarily the railway lines. I'd like to see the railway lines back and more investment in railway lines. You know, I think travelling by train is really the best option. I'd be going on my, you know, taking rail and sailing to Rosslare and Bilbao in August. And I mean, we used to have, like, I've gone into railway museums. I really like railways, into railway museum in Enniskillen there, looking at the great you know, days of the railway to, that went to Donegal, and thinking, gosh, you know, wouldn't it be great to have that back? And as I say, Jackie is right. I mean, you've got the train, you can get to Kerry by train, but
at what cost? Michael made the point initially. Michael made the point. Donna, Michael made the point.
Yes.
€35 return for an air flight to and from Dublin, €68 for the train.
Well, you still got to get to the airport, don't you? I mean,
and you,
like,
you
know,
drive
I don't
your car to the airport.
Many flights. Yeah. But I mean, it's yeah, you do need to. I mean, the rail fares have come down, particularly for young people. And I mean, you can see by the figures that we've got in terms of the transport, we 308 million passenger journeys, the highest ever in a single year in 2023.
All right, Donna,
I mean, that's huge numbers. and we do need to increase more train carriages, you know, give people even more options because they're quite packed at the moment. There's so many people travelling.
Here's a question for Michael. Is there an argument that it can be hard for the Greens to represent rural interests adequately if rural Ireland doesn't vote for and elect Green rural representatives?
So what is that person? What is that person suggesting? So that it's the people's fault that they didn't vote for the Greens? My goodness, the Green people's names were on the ballot paper as good as anybody else. And for example, in Kerry, they got an answer, and the answer was no. It's no more than tomorrow morning if my name is on a ballot paper, and if people don't want me, they won't vote for me. But what is that person suggesting? That it's the people are wrong so that they didn't vote for the Greens? We're hearing an awful lot about trains, right? Does Donna realise that if you were below in Ballinskelligs or in Portmagee or in Lark or Twosist or any of these areas, it'll take you an hour and 40 or 50 minutes to drive your car to get to the train. She gives the impression that if you're in Sharon Brand this morning in Lark, that you can step outside your door and get on the train. My goodness, the connectivity of the train is not good for areas like us because it doesn't cover every area. We did have a rural rail network, but remember, politicians closed it down many years ago. So Donna's argument, I'm afraid, is flawed. Whether people like it or not, they will have to travel by car to get from A to B. And the last thing I'll say to you is, we have proof now that the electric cars are a failure, an abject failure. It is a proven fact that the best thing for the environment, and if this was the last point I ever made to you, Pat, I want to make this point. If you have a diesel engine in a car that's well maintained and that's running well, that is actually the most environmentally friendly vehicle that you can have. And the reason I say that is the damage that is done to the environment in producing these electric cars, again, because the Greens are telling us to use more and more ESB, whether it's underfloor heating or whether it's our transport. They want more and more electricity. At the same time, when we wanted to have our own energy efficiency and have an LNG facility above in North Kerry, Eamon Ryan came along and objected to it, which was an absolutely awful thing to do, in my opinion. So they're telling us use more and more electricity at a higher and higher cost, and there's less and less of it available to us. So that's the Green Party's policy, and that's their method of joined-up thinking. I'm afraid they'll have to go back to the drawing board when it comes to their policies, and the general election will tell a lot when it comes to the Green Party, their policies, what they're pursuing, and the damage that they have done since 2020 and when they went into government.
Last words to you, Donna.
I will. Well, I think that he will have to check our policies, because we're not about using more energy. We're about more sustainable energy, and so that we do have a future in Ireland. And I think us changing to renewable energies and producing our own energy gives us a more sustainable future. Gives us a more secure future. For our people going forward. And as for diesel engines and PM10s and healthy living for people, let alone the planet and the environment. It's the air that we breathe is the most essential thing for us, and we need to make sure that that's clean, and that's part of the reason for going electric.
All right, Donna, thank you very much for joining us. Donna Cooney, who is Deputy Lord Mayor of Dublin, Green Party Councillor for Clontarf, and Michael Healy-Ray, who's Independent TD for Kerry. A few more of these texts. I live in Bray. All modes of public transport go north to south and vice versa. So if you want to go anywhere west from Bray, you need to use a car. I work hard and pay my taxes. I don't want to get public transport or cycle a bike. I enjoy my car. That's from Andrew in Balbriggan. With the serious level of antisocial behaviour on public transport, why would anyone use it or feel safe doing so? When is the crackdown on scooters? I'm lucky to escape with my legs. The Clontarf footpath didn't put the TFI, didn't they put the fares up in June? And now they're talking about dropping them again. I totally agree with Michael. All we hear is Dublin, Dublin, Dublin. We are in Wexford, could not get to Dublin to a hospital appointment by train or by bus. Unfortunately, we have to have a car to get around. The Green Party is living in cuckoo land. That's from Mary in Wexford. What planet are the Greens living on? There's seriously no link to my door where I live and work in Kerry. I can't get public transport to and from. As someone who's lucky enough to live and work in Kerry, albeit with infrequent trips to Dublin, I cannot fathom how people can face the Lewis every day with its overcrowding, antisocial behaviour and substance abuse. I'd be using my car every day too, says that texter. Now we want to make mothers and fathers feel guilty for driving their kids around. Why are we constantly being made feel guilty about our basic lives? I live in Dunleary, I work in Howth. Last dart is before 11 p.m. I have to drive. We live in South Kilkenny and have adult children and four cars going different directions at different times. Work or college, none of them within biking or walking distance. Public transport would not and cannot cater for such scenarios. And we have so many more. I'll bring those to you later on in the programme.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.